Thank you for joining us today for another podcast from Flushing Community Church. We are real people seeking to understand the truth revealed in God's Word. You can join us every Sunday at our place of gathering in Flushing, Michigan. Find out more by visiting flushingcommunity.org.
We've been in this series now for a few weeks. I believe this is week 5 that we've been calling Life Apps. We've been kind of taking this idea of how do we take Scripture and apply it to our life, similar to how we take our smartphones or our tablets or our devices and go out to the market or wherever we go, and we download apps that make life a little easier. And so we want to look at how can we use Scripture to download into our hearts things that are important for us as believers in Jesus Christ. So this is, like I said, our fifth week. We've already had 3 different apps that we've applied, and we've got this ginormous iPhone up here. And so this first icon up here was the app of grace, if you remember that. We used the cross image there to kind of talk about how God has called us to be people who receive God's unmerited favor, but also that He's made us stewards of that grace, that we give it to others as well. So that app has some interesting things to go along with it. Our next app that we talked about that we downloaded was the app of confession, an app that I think makes a lot of us uncomfortable, but one that we recognized is really important for us to begin to understand, you know, this hope that God wants to offer us. And so confession was so much a part of the Old Testament thinking and so much a part of us, and yet we get kind of scared of it. So we kind of worked through our fears on that. Then last week we talked about kind of the benefit of confession, which takes us to these broken chains, the app of freedom. And that app of freedom, you know, was really designed to help us know that we don't need to be confined or constricted by our sin. God breaks that bondage, but He also breaks that bondage that sometimes we live under, and that's the bondage of religion and all these things that we think we have to be. And sometimes that is as binding as our sin. And we looked at how Scripture talks about that and how God wants us to be people who are free, free to worship and free to experience in Him. And so today this app kind of looks like, if you've got a Mac computer, it might look like the Safari imagery that's on your computers. But today we're going to be talking about an app that's called Priorities. What it means to live a life of priorities. And we were kind of, when we were brainstorming this idea, we were thinking, you know, to have that kind of as like, you know, a compass or direction in some way. So that's kind of the imagery that we're using today as we talk about priorities. This is one of my favorite apps on my phone, actually. Out of all the, I don't really get into the games and stuff. I mean, I'm old school. I like to play solitaire once a day. I'm kind of addicted to that for some strange reason because I can't ever win. But one of the things on my phone that I enjoy the most is my calendar. And I've become really dependent upon my calendar. You know, it tells me everything that I got to vote today. It reminded me of that. Thanks, I would need to do that. But no, this calendar is so helpful for me. Those of you who have an Android phone, you have a Gmail account, because Gmail owns, you know, somehow rights to all the Android. I don't understand any of that. But we have this thing, and it reminds us of all these different things we need to do. The beauty of the calendar app for me is that when I put something on here, we've been able to sync this so that Tammy can actually see my calendar, which is incredibly helpful because I am so absent-minded. I'll never tell her what I've got going on. And so it happened all the time in our marriage, you know, that I say, oh, I forgot I got this meeting or whatever. And now she knows. She put something on her calendar and I can see her stuff as well. Very, very helpful. You know, be home at 5:00. She just puts it right on the calendar. So, and I ignore it, but it's there. And that's a good first step. Now, the other thing about, you know, calendars and all of this kind of stuff is, maybe some of you have tried to create like a task list, right? Where we try to, well, here's the things we need to get done, and we try to get them done in a certain kind of order. Well, I was really struggling trying to figure out some kind of task list thing on my phone. And so I did a little research this week, and I found an app called Evernote. Anybody ever heard of Evernote or have that? That might be like a standard on the iPhones. It looks like a very iPhone-y looking thing that they made cool for, you know, us droid people. But, you know, it's this idea that I could be on any web page and I could click something and save it to my Evernote, and it on my computer, and then it syncs automatically with my phone, which I find that to be incredibly fascinating and terrifying all at the same time, right? But this is an idea of some kind of task list. Now, for 11, 12 years of my life, this was my task list. This was my Evernote, you know? I had a folder that was, you know, full-size binder, and I would carry it with me wherever I went, you know, as a youth pastor, and everybody that was in really cool churches, they'd pull out their Palm Pilots. You remember Palm Pilots? You know, they'd pull out their Palm Pilot, when are we going to meet again? And I'd be like, boom, and set my big 3-ring binder on the table and say, there's my Palm Pilot. You know, let's put it down here. But, you know, I use this little task list. You know, I've got all these different categories here of the different things that I need to think of. You know, my leadership teams, general administration, pastoral care, well, stuff for the board and stuff for staff meeting. And I just try to keep everything compartmentalized to try to help me with my tasks. And again, just like I do with Tammy's calendar, I often ignore that, but I try to fill them out. And Joel can attest to this. I've shown him my folders for this. I have kept my task list almost from the beginning of time of when I've done this. Why? I have no idea. But I could go back to, like, you know, 1997 and tell you what I was doing in a particular week. It's kind of an insane little fetish thing that I probably have and shouldn't have admitted. But, you know, I've got all these things. It can kind of remind me of my lack of productivity for all of those years. You've probably, no doubt, developed something to help you stay on task. When I was in college, it was a Franklin planner. Anybody ever owned a Franklin planner? They were ingenious at overpricing a calendar. For crying out loud, $50 for a year's worth of a calendar? Yes. Whoa, absolutely. And we would go through the whole process of this is an A event and this is a B event, and we would 1, 2, 3 it, and we bought in. And we would go through this whole thing. Whatever works for you, though, right, is what we need. So maybe you found an app. Maybe you need the old-fashioned paper. Whatever it takes, we all need a sense of trying to figure out what we're to do. But what I want us to really do is I want you to kind of take a step back from even that. Not just the stuff you need to get accomplished. You know, I think about this all the time when it comes to church. I hope that coming to church for you isn't like on your task list. Like, you know, I need to just check that one off that I've been, you know, it's been a couple weeks. I probably ought to go back so I can check it off. I mean, I really don't want you to think of church and its ministries and its involvement as something that you just have to do and check it off. I'd rather it be something that's a little bit deeper, a desire for you, really. You know, something that's kind of welling within you. And this is just kind of a response of what God is doing in your heart. But if you take a step back, what I want us to do is not look at task lists and all of that. I really want us to think about, you know, what makes us us? What are the driving forces in our life? And I think the best way to think about it is this. What if you could just, you know, for a moment, imagine yourself lying on a bed. A bed none of us really like to talk about, a deathbed. What if you could imagine yourself laying there and all of life was just kind of flashing in front of you? And you knew that this was it. You knew that there was no leaving that room. There was no, this was going to be it. What would be going through your mind at that very moment? How important would certain things be that you find to be important sitting here? What would be the things you would want near you? What would be the things you would want to have accomplished? We call this now your bucket list, right? But more importantly than that, what are the things, what's the cream, what would rise to the top of the things that you would hope you would have experienced in your life? It's even deeper than just doing things, but the people around you. Will you have peace? Or would you be stuck in torment over the things undone? You know, when we're young, when we're teenagers, we think, you know what? Everything I want to do, I'll do it. Right? When we're young and ambitious, there's nothing that's going to get in our way to accomplish every goal that we have. We go through high school, we accomplish that. Many of us go on to college and we get a degree and we say, look out world, here I come. And then all of a sudden the world sometimes goes, oh yeah, take that, you know. And after getting smacked around a few times by the world, we become cynical, stuck in our ways, and we're just not as interested and kind of lost sometimes, right? And so I want us to kind of recapture that ambition of being a teenager again. I want us to recapture that idea of what it meant to be 22, ready to take on the world. What do you find most important in that moment? What were your goals and ambitions? What were the things you wanted to see done? What were the things you hoped to accomplish? Between the deathbed and age of 22, there's some tension that lies into what becomes reality. What becomes real? What becomes reasonable? And that's where too many of us really dwell our time. That's where we spend most of our time, right? The question we have today is, what are your personal priorities? And how are you living them out? What are your life's objectives? What is your driving force? So as we get started in this, let's look at this word, priorities. Some would define this word as a preferential rating or a preferential treatment even. Something that you give preferential decision to, you know? And so you can make that decision of what becomes a priority for you. I would say it even more simply, that priorities is really establishing direction. Establishing a direction, a course of action for your life, direction for your spending habits, direction for what you want to learn and how you want to learn it, direction for family goals, direction for your ambition. Direction of everything really is determined by what you think are and what you believe to be your priorities. And I could say it the opposite way. Without priorities, you're going to feel directionless. Without knowing your life's goals and ambitions, without those priorities being thought about and talked about, you could easily feel lost. And that's a scary place to be. That's a terrifying place to be going through life feeling lost. I would contend this too, that for those of us who follow Christ and want to honor Him with our lives, our priorities might look a little bit differently than those who don't necessarily follow Christ. I want to look at what those lists might look like today. Maybe the priorities of a person who is kind of outside the faith, not necessarily calling out on God on a regular basis, their priorities might look like this. And they might reflect some of your priorities as well. We'll see. The first thing that comes to my mind is a career. Having career success with lots of room for advancement and future leadership and down the line. The second thing I think that many people think about is a happy marriage. That's, you know, always going to be happy and making everybody strong. That it's as hot as it was today as the day it began. Last night, some of us were a part of a marriage that began. It was really exciting when Josh, one of our lead guitarists, married his best friend, Michelle. It was a lot of fun. Steve did a fantastic job organizing that service, and it was a great time. So next time you see Josh and Michelle, they will be glowing. It was fun. How about another goal of raising great kids, right? We want to raise great kids who are great looking like their parents, who are adorable, polite. They never fight or, you know, don't get along because they're great kids, right? Just like all of our kids, right? Maybe not. Yes, thank you for that. How about being involved and respected in the community? As a civic leader, a great neighbor, maybe a business person who is giving back to the community in which they live. Maybe this would be a priority for some, to have a big house, to have nice cars, maybe a boat, a cabin up north, experiencing great vacations. Maybe this would be a priority for you, to retire early or at least on time with plenty of health, ready to travel and relax and spoil the grandkids. Now, those might be reasonable and completely great priorities for all of us. But my question for us is God in the mix of that? Is God influencing those decisions and those priorities? There's nothing wrong with this list inherently. But I want us to ask that question. Where's God in them? 1 John chapter 2 says these words: "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them." That's harsh. That's very difficult to read. "For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away. But whoever does the will of God lives forever." Now, this idea was, you know, grabbed a hold of by the monks a long, long time ago. And they would say, we need to remove ourselves completely from the world, and we're going to build this house, and we're going to live there, and we're going to be completely devoted to God. And we can't have anything to do with the world, right? Then I'm not so sure that that's what was intended with these words. Instead, I think there's something, because it really, they never say don't be in the world. It says don't love the world. Don't lust after all of its traps. And there's a difference between lusting for the world and hating the world and finding somewhere to enjoy right in the middle. So with this idea in mind, I want to make a list that might be good for us as followers of God. People who are interested in seeking God's blessing in our life. And they're going to sound similar, but with a simple twist to help us. Goal number one. Instead of career success, maybe it would say this. Honoring God with our job. Honoring God with my occupation. By doing what is right and being filled with integrity all the time. Maybe instead of a happy marriage, what we would say is honor God with a solid marriage. Honor God by loving our spouse the way He calls us to. Making our partner our best friend, our accountability partner, and the sparkle in our eye. And sometimes we get off on that. Sometimes we lose the focus of what that means, and our marriages begin to struggle. Maybe instead of simply raising great kids, maybe our priority list should say honoring God by raising great kids. Maybe it's honoring God by being a parent who is seeking God's favor in return. Raising kids who are unashamed of their faith, unashamed of their church, who are willing to share their experience of God with others. Have a confidence in who they are in Jesus Christ, even as young children, and at their ability to find a deeper understanding of who God is for them. Instead of being a respected civic leader, maybe it would sound like this, to honor God by serving our community, by meeting real needs of people who live right next door to us, people whose needs they don't even want to talk about, people who are lonely, people who are hungry, people who don't know if they're going to be able to pay the next bill. What if we were a community of faith who honored God by serving radically? Not because the church is organizing a program, but because your neighbor needs you to be the hands and feet of Jesus. What if our priority list sounded like this? Instead of a big house and nice cars, what if we wanted to honor God with all of our possessions? That whatever we have is His. And that we recognize any gift, any blessing we have, that it's His in the first place, and using them to bless others. What if instead of retiring early and having all kinds of security around us, what if it was this, honoring God with every dollar? Honoring God with our finances by investing in your future and the future of God's kingdom. What if when you looked at your checkbook, you realized it wasn't your checkbook? What if you looked at your schedule, your calendar on your phone, and you realized it really isn't your calendar? God, what do you want from me this day? I have a feeling that when we allow ourselves to desire to honor God in all that we do, from our homework to the job at, they're asking for more of you from work even, or whatever it may be, as you come home to your family, whatever it is that's in your mind right now, when we seek to honor God above everything else and our own desires especially, all of a sudden our priorities come back into an alignment of what God had intended. We can establish all kinds of priority, or all kinds of processes rather, to discover what our priorities should be. But really it's a decision that you'll need to make today. When God created the world, I believe He had certain priorities in mind for us. I believe when he gave us the breath of life, He had certain ambitions for who we would be and the connection that we would have with Him. And when we walked away from that, and He had to close the doors of the Garden of Eden that He had created to be the perfect place for us, I believe it saddened Him, but I think even in that moment, He had priorities for us. He knew exactly what He would do to redeem us, to bring us back to Him. So after the fall of man, ever since that day, mankind has been searching for direction again. Searching for our priorities. Searching for purpose in life. I know I am. And the things that can drag me down the quickest, it's trying to understand God's purpose for me. Which might sound silly for a pastor to say, but it's true. No different. Wanting to understand what God is doing with me and why He's asking me to do what He's doing. Throughout the Scriptures, I see God use a lot of things to kind of get us back on His priority list. He uses, not fun things, by the way, He's used a flood to get our attention, to get us back focused on His priorities. He's used in famine, He's used captivity, He's used war, He's used illness, He's used plagues, He's used wandering in the wilderness, and the list goes on and on of the things that God allows to happen to us to snap us back into reality of understanding His priorities for us. Now, we can read the Scriptures and we can look throughout history of mankind because we have the gift of history. We can look back and learn what went right and what went wrong, and we can learn from that. But what's going to help us right here and right now? What helps us in our present? I came up with a phrase that it's completely because I watched Mr. Popper's Penguins this weekend. I know it's true. But this is the phrase I want us to think about. Proper production of priorities is found in perspective. You thought I was joking about the Popper's Penguins comment. Proper production of priorities is found in establishing and finding perspective. I'm reading a book right now by Andy Andrews that talks about finding perspective. And he finds this character, Jones, is finding these people who are just really lost and tormented. And he helps them find perspective. And in that perspective, they gain again the idea of sense of direction and where they're heading in life. Perspective is gaining a broader view of reality. So that truth reigns in our minds instead of blaming others. Perspective allows us to live as honest people instead of people who are deceitful. Perspective allows clarity instead of confusion. Perspective allows us to wake up and remember who we are and see the big picture of what God is doing. Deuteronomy chapter 8 is a fantastic... Actually, Deuteronomy is a great read in a lot of ways. Deuteronomy chapter 8 is a warning shot of God to His people. Deuteronomy chapter 8 tells a story of when God's people were warned not to forget all that He's done for Him, all that He's done for them. He tells the story of where they've come from as people had been in captivity for hundreds of years, how God brought about restoring them and bringing them out of that captivity and making them free people. But here's the warning. Verse 10 of Deuteronomy chapter 8. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land He has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe His commands, His laws, and His decrees that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, when your herds and flocks grow and your silver and gold increase and all that you have is multiplied, and when your heart becomes, then your heart becomes proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of that land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land, with its venomous snakes and its scorpions. He brought you water out of a hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and test you so that in the end it might go well with you. So that you may say to yourself, my power and strength, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. What a terrible thing for us to think. That we come to this land of the free. That we live in a town like Flushing. You know, the bad stuff happens in Flint, not Flushing. right? We're in this bubble of protectedness, of security, and all these things. Big homes, cabins up north, and I'm not being critical of them. But if we think that those are things that have been developed by our own strength, we are not seeing God's hand in our life clearly. It is God who has blessed us. And what happens too often is that pride stands opposed to the path of honoring God. Our own pride and the things that we think that we control, it stands completely opposed to the life that wants to honor God. We get prideful of a lot of things. We even get prideful of church. We get prideful of the way church ought to be, should be. We get prideful of the way it should be done and the way we worship. We get prideful about a lot of things. And that stands completely opposed, my friends, and I'm saying this because I love you to death. That stands completely opposed to the priorities of God that says, honor me with everything. Put me first in your life. Priorities of God are not the priorities of this world. And unless we're careful, we'll easily fall into the trap of wanting more and wanting bigger and wanting and wanting and wanting. Friends, if we don't honor God, we're missing the point altogether. How do we apply this story and principle to our life? It's a great question. My question for you is this. Are your priorities in need of some perspective? Are your priorities in need of a little shift away from the things you want for yourself into the things of honoring God and making Him first? Is that job you want a new job that will honor God, or is it one that will boost your own sense of pride and self-worth? Is that new house or that one, you know, that new thing that you want, is that something that you can honor God with, or is that something that will make you feel like a success among your friends and neighbors? Is that desire in your hearts, whatever it may be, honoring to God, or is it honoring you? It's a difficult question, friends. And I'm not telling you as one who has figured all this stuff out. I'm telling you this is tough stuff. It's easy to want the latest and greatest. Very easy to get caught in that trap. What I want, what I need, is to honor God with whatever He allows to come my way. The good and the bad. I have a very good friend who I don't get to see near enough because I think if I spent more time with him, he would encourage me beyond words. His name is Randy. He doesn't live that far from here. And we met in college, our freshman year speech communications class. Tammy and I had a privilege to meet with Randy and his wife a few months back. Had dinner, and it was awesome. Felt like no time had passed. You ever have a friend like that? We're just like, man, this is good. It was probably 6 weeks ago or so, I got a text from Randy asking for prayer because Shelley had been diagnosed with cancer. And I can handle cancer with people I don't like. It happens, right? That hit me really hard. And I know we're praying for John and we're praying for others. This is hard stuff. I don't get cancer. And I certainly don't get it in 39-year-old woman who loves Jesus more than anyone I've ever met. And Randy's words were this. We don't know what's going to happen, but this is our goal. Not to save Shelley's life, but to honor God through it. I don't know that I could say that, friends. His goal is among anything that might come their way, is not to save her life, though that is a good goal. His goal is to honor God no matter what. He's got God's priorities better than I do. I don't know if you could say that today, but I hope we could make that our goal to get to that point in our life where we could say to God, I don't want anything less than you. I want nothing less than you. The Life app, Priorities, is free to download. It's made available to all of us today. And it's free. But it will cost you. It could cost you a promotion. It could cost you friendships. Because this app fights the pride that comes pre-installed in your heart and tries to drive it out so that you're humbled to seek and honor God in all that you do. How might your priorities need a little perspective today? That's our question. That's our question. How might our priorities need just a little perspective today? I know it's getting late, and I have the option of not doing this final song, but I don't want us to leave on this note. I want us to feel the encouragement that God is enough for us. I want us to know that there is a God who wants us to know that He has already done the hard work. I want Him to be your supply today. I want Him to be your very breath of life, because He is enough. He is worthy of your honor today. He is worthy of setting your priorities toward Him today. More than all that you may want, more than all that you may need today, more than what you know, and more than what you can see, touch, and feel, God is more than enough for what you need. More than enough for what you want to experience. And I hope that as we sing this as our benediction, as we sing this as a song to say yes to Him, that you may allow His priorities to be your priorities today. That you may recognize where some of your priorities might be just a little off track and where you need to put them back in alignment with God. Don't wait for the flood. Don't wait for the famine. Don't wait for the time that God will try to get your attention in some way. He's available now to allow something special to happen in your heart. Today may be your day. Say, I'm done fighting this on my terms. I'm ready to surrender it all and allow Him to be all that I need. This song is a fun song to sing. We're going to have to stand to sing it. But I want you to know something. There are places to pray up here that would be a special place for you to get your priorities set. This would be a safe place for you to come and kneel before a God who loves you and wants to allow your priorities to be priorities that honor Him. And you won't walk away here with all the answers, and you won't walk away here with perfect direction, but it's the best first step you could ever make in figuring out what that's going to be for you. God, help us. Help us. Live our lives in a way that honors You no matter what. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for spending these minutes with us at Flushing Community Church. If you would like to speak with someone regarding today's message, please contact our office at 810-732-0282 or visit flushingcommunity.org.